Mike Tudubin. Hello, friend, and welcome once again to a few moments of Bible study concerning the truth of the eternal God. Oh, I remember the apostle, or rather it wasn't an apostle, it was a king, not a king, but an administrator of the Roman government, Pilate, who said, "What is truth? What is truth?" And did you know, beloved, there are many people in the world who do not know what truth is. They do not understand what truth is. And they're blinded by Satan. The Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Yes, beloved, so many people are blinded to the truth. They do not know the truth. They do not understand the truth. That's why God's Word is so essential and so important in the lives of believers. That's why it's so needful we get into the Word of God on a daily basis, personally, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us and to instruct us from the truth of God's Word. For as a child of God, every child of God has the Spirit of God indwelling him. And every child of God is immersed into the body of Christ. And that's why every local church is a picture and a type of the body of Christ, and each individual in a local church is very vital and very important to the health and the function of that local ministry in fulfilling the Great Commission, in practicing the two ordinances of the church, in reaching out to their community to bring the lost and dying to a knowledge of truth and the true and the living God. Well, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again this morning, or today, when we're looking into the Word of God. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're considering the ordinance of communion, the ordinance of the time when we examine ourselves and partake of the unleavened bread, which is a type of the body of Christ, and the fruit of the vine, which is a type of the blood of Christ. And we do it in remembrance of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Note again, beginning with verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you," in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, "that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread, and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And so he said here, "This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." He gave instruction that this was to be a practice among believers in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said this was showing forth his death until he came to receive us to himself. Wherefore, verse 27, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty." And notice, "Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Therefore, beloved, this is a very serious thing. This isn't something to be done lightly or to be considered lightly. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not focusing on the fact that this represents the body of Christ. You see, these young believers, this baby nursery called the church at Corinth, and it was a church filled with baby believers. Paul was giving them instruction that they might grow in the knowledge of the truth. And there were some that had partaken of the Lord's table unworthily. And so Paul explains in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Many had died because they had partaken of the Lord's table unworthily. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And that has reference to our confessing sin and acknowledging sin. As 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins to the Lord, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How essential it is that we acknowledge sin in our life and that we keep short accounts. That is, that we do not allow and harbor some sin in our life, but we confess it and acknowledge it whenever we fall into any kind of sin, that immediately we make our heart right with the Lord and ask His forgiveness and seek the power of the Spirit of God to enable us not to fall into that snare again. And so, because of their partaking of the Lord's table with sin in their lives, not acknowledging what they were doing or recognizing that this was to be done, remembering the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he goes on to say that judgment came upon them and that many of them had died because of partaking of the Lord's table unworthily. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 31, verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God's chastening comes upon the life of a believer. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. That is, wait for one another. You don't all just dive in as though you're hungry and wanting food. No, he said, wait for one another, tarry for one another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home. They were not to come to the Lord's table to eat food for their physical body. They were to come to the Lord's table to meditate upon His death, His burial, His resurrection, to think about the Lord and His love for we human beings, thus dying in our stead for our sin, being buried and coming forth victor over death, hell, and the grave for our justification. So, beloved, we see these two ordinances of the church. Baptism, which we have previously talked about, and let's go back to the book of Romans now, chapter 6, where we were, and when we took this little side trip about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the church was something that was hidden to Old Testament saints. They didn't understand that there would come a day when the gospel would be given to the Gentiles. And not only did the church not know about it, but even the devil himself did not understand what he was doing when he crucified the Lord of glory. This was a part of the wisdom of God. As 1 Corinthians chapter 2 states, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. You see, it was in God's plan before the world to redeem and save us from our sin. For God, who is omniscient, knows all things. He knew man would fall into sin. He knew man would need a Savior. He knew man would need someone to redeem and set him free from the bondage of sin. But Satan himself did not understand what God's plan was, and verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew. Now, Satan is spoken of as the god of this world, and they didn't know what God's plan was, and that when Satan had the Lord crucified, he was fitting right into the plan of God. That's a marvelous and amazing thing, that God can even take the devil and use him for his glory. That's how great and how omniscient and all-knowing God is. Now, Satan didn't realize that he was fitting into God's plan. He thought, boy, he had really conquered in putting Christ to death. But in reality, he was opening the door of salvation for the believer and for the establishment of the church, the bride of Christ, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have put Christ to death. But that was a part of God's plan, that Christ might die for our sins according to the Old Testament scriptures, that he might be buried and rise again the third day according to the Old Testament scriptures as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that's part of the mystery that was hidden from the foundation of the world, which God has now revealed to us and made known to us. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul also talks about these mysteries, the mysteries of God that are being revealed through the church, and the truths of God's Word that are being manifested, that have been hidden in time past, which the Old Testament saints did not know nor understand. That's why Isaiah 53 was so hard for Old Testament saints to understand, why Messiah would die. They were expecting Messiah to come in power and in great glory and to not die. But, beloved, God's plan was for the establishing of the church, and what a privilege to be a part of the plan of God and to be a member of a local church serving the Lord. Till next time, beloved, goodbye.